Today we are talking about healing in the is in the atonement. Is. Not that it was, not that it will be, is in the atonement. It's part of it. Amen. It's part of our whole package, our salvation package. And it's part of our spiritual blessings that comes when we accept the Lord as our Lord and Savior. Amen. And this lesson speaks about the Lord, and there's so many scriptures here. So let's get started. You know, as we know that Jesus is the one that purchased healing. He purchased our everything at the cross. Amen. He paid our full debt. And the Word of God says that He purchased healing for us, not just the forgiveness of sins, not just salvation. He purchased healing for us. And in the book of Mark and Luke, the Word says that the Lord, right, was teaching in a house. It was crowded, and that a paralyzed man was brought down from the roof by their friends, and the Lord Jesus miraculously healed him, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to go to the book of Matthew, right? Let's go to chapter 8, verses 14 through 16, just as it's listed right there in your lesson. Matthew 8, 14 and 16, and it says, "Now when the Lord Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them." Meaning that as soon as the Lord just touched her, right, that she just rose up like nothing happened, right? And all he did was touch her, and the fever left, and she arose, and she began to feed and minister to the people that were around her, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. And then in verse 16, it says, "When evening had come, they brought to him many, many who were demon-possessed." Okay, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness." That's what the prophet Isaiah prophesied in his book. Amen. So here we have the verse 17, right, which we just read, right, gives the reasons for this happening, that it might be fulfilled. A prophetic word that was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Amen. And what it's saying here, that the Lord Jesus was healing many, many people. Many people were hearing about the miraculous healings that the Lord was doing during his time here on earth, while he was walking in the villages from house to house, from the mountains. Amen. The multitude would sit down and just hear him out. You know, they were excited to hear, oh my God, who is this person that people are talking about that is doing all these miracles, right? So here the prophet Isaiah, when this word is spoken in verse 17, it goes back, and I'm going to go there. It goes back to Isaiah chapter 53, okay, and let's read here. It goes to verses 3 through 5. And it says, talking about the coming Messiah, "He is despised and rejected by men," right? "A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We are healed. Present tense. We are healed. And this is a prophetic word that Prophet Isaiah spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, it's very clear. The Lord Jesus went to the cross, and he bore all sickness, all griefs, all sorrows, all curses, everything for us. So these are very, very important, you know, passages in Scripture, because it's telling us exactly what took place. We read the New Testament now. We read the Gospel of the Lord Jesus, and this is exactly what you're going to read. The healings that took place. The casting out of demons that he did. Right? What about the pain and sorrows? Man, let me tell you something. We people, yes, the Lord says that in life we will have trials and tribulations and we will suffer. But be of good cheer, the Lord says, because he's already overcame at the cross. He won. He defeated the enemy. And if he defeated Satan, we are winners. Like I said Sunday, we win. We always win. Because we have the victory. We are no longer victims. We are victors in Christ. Amen. Jesus. We are victors in Christ Jesus. Okay? So you know, we're talking about these powerful passages that is really speaking volume to us. And some people take them and say, wait a minute. This is talking in a spiritual sense, right? And the church, and they say the church that I was brought in, I'm reading from the lesson, right? Talking about the author of this lesson. The church that I was brought up in didn't believe in physical healing for the body. Like, I went to churches that didn't believe in physical healing for the body either.
Right.
All they do is they have church, Roman Catholic, they just have a church service, they read the word, and that you go in and you come out.
Right.
There was no manifestation of the power of God in there. You just go in and you come right back out, right? It's a religious ceremony. It's the same prayers Sunday to Sunday. Different teaching, different sermon, right? But it's the same thing over and over and over. Every right. Mass, they call it a Mass, right? Every time you go there, it's the same thing, right? So for many people, they take a scripture like the one we just read, right? And they begin to spiritualize it, right? Used it to say we were wounded emotionally, right? And when we commit our lives to the Lord, he heals us. And that is true. Because that's not the word is saying. That's exactly what the word is saying. But when we put this passage together, right, with the other passages, you know, you can start by seeing the link between the Old Testament to the New Testament. I mean, the Lord Jesus was prophesied that Messiah was coming. There was somebody that was gonna come into this world, and he was gonna heal people. He was gonna cover our sins. He was gonna cover our griefs and sorrows and everything else. And now we go into the New Testament, and that prophecy was already fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Amen? He fulfilled it. Remember, he didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. He fulfilled prophecy. And he's still fulfilling prophecy today. Amen? Hallelujah. So here we're talking about physical healing. This word is talking about physical healing for the body. And when we read in Matthew 8:17, let's go back there again. Let's go to Matthew 8:17 again. This is why the Lord Jesus went to the cross. You know, his body was mutilated. His body was bruised. His body was whipped. 39. He received 39 stripes from these Roman soldiers. And the Word of God says, by his stripes, we are healed. That's what we read in Isaiah 8:17. Let me go there. I lost my place. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. That is physical healing. It says here that these healings that took place were the fulfillment of the prophetic word spoken by Isaiah the prophet that we just read. With his stripes, we are healed.
Amen.
That's we are healed. That's present tense. We should be declaring this word over our bodies every day. Nobody, you're healed. I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. This is a word of declaration that we as Christians should be doing day after day. As soon as you get a pain in your body, I said, oh, no. The Word of God tells me that by his stripes, I am healed. We got to confess. We got to declare. We got to walk in our physical healing because the Lord Jesus already provided for it. So it says here that it was a fulfillment that he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Now, our infirmities... Honestly, that word is a little tricky because if you read in the Word of God, sometimes infirmity doesn't always mean sickness. It means sufferings. It means weaknesses. You know, it could mean different things depending on the context of what you're reading. Amen. So this right now, this prophetic word here is talking about physical sickness, hurts, pains, sufferings, and we all go through them. Nobody's exempt from this. The enemy's real, and he will put and inflict sickness upon you because he's bad, and God is good.
Amen.
But the word stands true. Jesus healed people physically to fulfill the scripture that says, by his stripes, we are healed in Jesus' name. Now, let's go to 1 Peter 2:24, which is a verse that I speak out a lot. 1 Peter 2:24. And listen how it's so relatable, right? 1 Peter 2:24, it says here, talking about the Lord Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and the tree represents the cross, that we, having died to sins, have we died to sins with the Lord? We have died to sins with the Lord. Having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were, past tense, were healed. Did you read that? This is past tense. Okay? Jesus came, and part of what he came to do was to heal our physical bodies. And we know that he shed his blood, right? And we're not saying that that's not important enough. No, we're not decreasing that. We're not diminishing that fact. But what we're also saying that he also came, right, to heal our physical bodies. So we're not diminishing the fact that he came to forgive us our sins. We know that. Because that's really important, right? It's part of salvation. But and salvation and forgiveness of sins is like the doorway, the entrance to everything else that the Lord provided for us. You know, in Psalm 103, I love that scripture. It says, God has given us every single spiritual blessing. He already provided all these benefits. But he didn't only come to forgive us, right? He came to heal our bodies. And I love this. In Greek, the word used for salvation in the New Testament is zozo. And I've mentioned this in church. Zozo is an all-encompassing, right, word that applies to many different things. It means salvation. It means deliverance. It means healing. It means blessings. Amen. And the list goes on, honestly. So this word applies to many different things. And it's translated as healed. So let's go to James 5:14. Let's go to James 5:14. And in James 5:14 it says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Okay? And we've read that and we know that word. That word save, right? It says here, the name of the Lord. And in 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Right? So the word he has saved, there's a Greek word sozo, because it means salvation. It's talking about the sick being physically healed in their bodies. So the same word that was translated forgiveness of sins hundreds of times in the New Testament was also translated as healed. And this is a big deal. Because I just learned this a few years ago. I did not know that salvation came with healing. That salvation came with a bunch of other benefits. I did not know that. So this was a true revelation for me. And I want this to be a true revelation for you. The same word that was translated forgiveness of sins hundreds of times in the New Testament is also being translated as healed.
Amen.
So when the Lord Jesus sent his disciples out in Matthew 10, he commanded them to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons and devils, and preach the gospel. And in the same manner he said that, with the same breath he said that, he also told them to go preach the good news.
Uh-huh.
And he told them, go out and heal the sick. Cleanse the ones that are leprous. Cast out those demonic spirits from people.
Uh-huh.
So healing is just as much a part of what Jesus came to accomplish in your life as forgiveness of sins. It's the whole package. Amen. And a lot of people don't know it is a package deal.
Right.
And that's sad, because churches should be teaching the people that when you accept the Lord Jesus, you're not only saved, but healing is also part of the benefit. Amen. Healing is part of it. That's a big wow, you know, because I just learned this a few years ago, and I've been pressing forward. And I said, oh my gosh, this is good news. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My goodness. So in the same way, you would never think that the Lord would want you to commit a sin, right? To teach you that you could learn something through your sin, right?
Right.
He would never want you to live in sickness. That's not God's will for you. God wants you well. Just like this is the title of a book from Andrew Womack. God wants you well. God is not. I'm going to repeat. God is not the author of sickness in our lives. Sometimes, and I've heard many people say this, sometimes people say things like, well, the sickness is really a blessing from God, a teaching from God, because it turned me to Him. How can you even say that? God would never, ever, ever place sickness on you or I. And it is true that in crisis, right, in traumatic maybe situation, maybe you go through trauma or a crisis or some really big tribulation, right, situations that people go through, people do turn to God. But He doesn't send sickness to teach you. Mm-hmm. That's not God. Mm-hmm. That is not God. Sickness comes from the enemy, and sickness can be brought on by you also, by you or I, by you and me. Mm-hmm. We can place sickness in our own bodies when we don't take care of our bodies, when we begin to speak words that are contrary to the Word of God. When you begin to confess that you are sick, guess what? You're going to continue to be sick if that's what you're confessing.
You're declaring it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're declaring it over your life.
Right.
And I got my friend Rosie here that, my Lord, boy, she has corrected me for years. My goodness, I still remember when I would say something like, oh, I'm dying to do this. She would say, no. You need to say you're living to do this. I said, oh? She taught me a lot, let me tell you. She was the one that drew me to Andrew Womack. And she's the reason why I'm in school, because I fell in love with how they teach at this school. And that's why I'm a student right now there. But anyway, besides the point, right? What are we saying? God is good. God doesn't place sickness on you. The enemy does. God wouldn't do that. He would never do that. And He will never do that.
No.
Amen?
No.
I mean, can you learn something if you go live in sin? If you live a life of adultery or homosexuality, right, and get some disease, can you learn that the lifestyle was wrong? Yeah, of course you can, right? But God didn't cause you to live that lifestyle. God didn't cause you to become a homosexual, right? To begin to like the same sex people. God didn't do that. There's influences out there. There's social media out there. We got the world trying to conform us to them, to the world. But the Word of God says we're not of this world anymore. We are born again Christians. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We are made in His character. Yes. So that is not of God. And you think God is going to place that so He can teach you a lesson? No, we're the ones that are choosing to live a lifestyle like that, a wrong lifestyle. We're the ones choosing to bring sickness to our bodies. Maybe we smoke too much. Maybe we're taking in too much sugar when the doctor says, hey, listen, you got to cut down on your sugars because your numbers are way off. But yeah, we continue to add sugar to our diet. So who's really putting sickness on you? You can't blame the enemy. You got to blame yourself for this. Right? We have the Lord. The Lord lives and resides in us. We are His holy temple. We really have to watch what we do with our bodies. And the reality is, God wants us well. God wants Amen. Us to walk in divine health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he didn't place sin in your life so you can learn from the sin. No, he didn't do that.
No,
that's not God.
Nope.
That is absolutely not God. And the reality is, you know, the Word of God says that people perish for lack of knowledge. This is why we do Bible studies, because people perish, meaning they die spiritually because they don't really know what they should know. And you don't have to learn everything by hard knocks, right? By our stinking thinking, I call it, right? Sometimes our thinking really stinks. Because we really don't know. And this is why we need God to give us, you know, the wisdom and revelation to really know his word.
Yeah.
And the word is telling us right now, God does not put sickness in our lives to humble us or to teach us something. No. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, died to forgive us of our sins and to also heal our diseases, like the Word of God says. He bore our sins in his own body and by his stripes, and he received 39 stripes, we were healed. He took on that beating so that today we can walk in divine health, fully made whole, fully healed in Jesus' name. That's why we, and this is another reason why we take communion. Because the bread, the cracker, represents his broken body. His stricken body, his bruised body, his mutilated body. And when you take and partake of that cracker, you're saying and you should be confessing that by his stripes, I'm already healed. That's what we should be doing when we take communion. Amen?
Amen.
So his divine, supernatural divine healing is available to all believers. All believers. Because it's part of the atonement. It's part of the new covenant that the Lord Jesus died to give to us. It is a free gift. You hear, salvation is a free gift? Well, healing came with it. Healing is a free gift from God. Over 2,000 years ago, when the Lord paid the full debt at the cross for our sins, he also paid the full debt for our sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And if you're not receiving the healing that you're asking for, The Lord is not mad at you or upset at you. We don't have to be healed to love God. We have to choose to love God with all our heart, might, and soul. And let me tell you, not believing in healing, and you can still go to heaven. Amen? Because it's not about that. It's a free gift. When you said yes to the Lord, you were saved, you were healed, you were delivered, you were restored, you were reconciled back to God the Father. It's a full package. And as long as you love the Lord with all your heart, you say yes to his Son, listen, you're still going to heaven. There's still a place for you up there. Amen? But it is by faith. It is by faith that we are saved. It is by faith that we are healed. In the same way that you receive salvation by faith, it is the same way that you receive healing by faith. You have to believe it. You have to trust God. You got to trust God in that word.
Yes.
So your symptoms should not matter. What matters is, what are you believing? Are you believing the word of God, or are you believing the pain that you have in your body? Because we're not negating that the pain is there. The pain is real. But what we're saying, that God is greater. that his word is greater, and his word can move that mountain of sickness when you speak to it.
Yes.
Right? If you believe all things are possible, then they will be in your life. It's the word. And all we need, faith as small as a mustard seed. We don't need a lot of faith. We just need the faith that the Lord Jesus gave us. We just need his faith, right? That faith will move that mountain of sickness and any mountain that is coming against you. You call it out. You tell it how big your God is. You tell it how what the word says about it. And it shall be. It shall come to pass.
Okay.
Yep. It's available. Salvation is available to you, but so is healing. We cannot leave healing out of salvation. Amen. So we need to learn how to walk in divine health.
Yeah.
Because it is something that the Lord freely gave to us, just like salvation. It's available for you and I today. Because the Lord Jesus died for it. The Lord Jesus gave his entire body. He sacrificed himself so that today we can walk in divine health, divine wealth, amen, and going from glory to glory. Because we do. We go from glory to glory. Amen. The more you know, the more your mind is going to be aligned with the Word of God. The more you know about the Word, the more you're going to be steadfast and you're going to be anchored on the Word of God. And nothing by any means can move you when you hear this, maybe a negative report from the doctor, a bad report from the doctor. You will not be shaken because now you know that healing is part in the atonement. It's part of your salvation package. So do not be moved. Church, do not be moved when you get a negative report from the doctor. Don't accept it. Don't receive it. Because the word is clear. By his stripes you were healed. And Satan has no legal right to place sickness upon you, so you need to start confessing the word over your body, over your life. You got to start commanding, if you have any pain, to leave your body, to cease right now in the name of Jesus. And it has to leave. It has to leave in Jesus' name. Because healing is part of your package, is part of your salvation. You're not only saved, but you're healed. You're not only saved, but you've been delivered. You're not only saved, but you've been restored. You're not only saved, but you've been reconciled back with the Father. There's intimacy. There's relationship now. Amen? And sometimes what happens is when you have this beautiful relationship with the Lord, and something, whether sickness or something outside of sickness that is something that the enemy is trying to place against you, when you have a relationship with God, God can speak to you. Just like he spoke to many people. When they got a bad doctor's report, the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord was, they were so in tune with God's voice, and they heard the Lord. One of them said, I heard the Lord said, you're going to be okay. You're going to get through this. And for that person, it meant that he had the green light to go and do chemo. For others, they had the green light to maybe stop medication. But God is the one that speaks to us. We got to listen to the Holy Spirit because we're all different. The way God heals one person may not be the same way he's going to heal you, right? You know, he may tell you one thing, right? Like, stop the medication, but he may tell another person, no, until I tell you, you do not stop taking medication. We got to be in tune with God. But the bottom line is that he's our source, he's our provider, and he is our healer.
Amen.
That even if you're taking medication, you need to know that he already provided healing for you. It is for you to walk in. It is for you to walk in divine health every day. God wants you well. Every day. And a lot of people, what happens? They know the word of God. They know what the word says. But as soon as the symptoms get a little stronger, maybe the pain gets a little stronger, they begin to negate what they prayed over themselves or what they declare over themselves. And when that happens, that means unbelief came knocking at your door and now place doubt in you. And where there's doubt, God cannot work. Faith will not work. Remember, God already moved. He sent his son to die for us so that today we can walk in divine health, so we can be saved. But we're talking about healing today. So, you know, understand, we need to have such a revelation. Like, my prayer is that you get a revelation of the healing power that is in the Word of God. The healing power that he provided for us is living in the inside of you. The Word of God says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that resides in all of us.
Amen.
So there's power in the name of Jesus. There is power at the cross and the resurrection. There is power. But many people flake when they hear a doctor's report. Many people flake. They know the word. They're standing on the word. But when there's a new report from the doctor, a new symptom shows up, right away, fear paralyzes them. When there's fear, when there's unbelief, when there's doubt, you will cancel your faith, meaning nothing happens. Nothing will take place. You won't be able to move that mountain of sickness because of the unbelief and doubt.
Believe, yes.
You gotta walk in faith. You have to believe that no matter what you're feeling, no matter what's going on in your body, that you are healed. And that's a word, you gotta chew on that word. You gotta chew it so much until you literally believe it and you walk it. We need to walk this healing out. You really need to know it, believe it, walk it out. And trust me, you will walk in divine health. You will walk in divine health every day because now you know the word. I'm already healed. God already healed me. God already provided healing for me over 2,000 years ago. And no weapon formed against me can prosper. It will not prosper in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what the word says. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what the word says. And we got to stand on the word of God because it's truth. And the truth of the word will set you free. Free from what? Free from sickness. Free from doubt. Free from unbelief. That's what the word does. It sets us free from the lies of the enemy. From the deception of the enemy. Because as soon as you get, as you're walking in God's word, but as soon as you hear something, now the enemy comes in, that little voice, evilish, evil, because that voice is evil. Evil voice comes in, oh, you're going to die. You're going to die, you know, and then it starts messing with you. And you got to say, no, I'm not. I am healed. I am of the hills in the name of Jesus. Yes. So you have to like command that word to leave. You got to take authority over that word that is coming in that is contrary to your belief, especially about healing, because God wants you well. God needs you. God needs you right now. You were created for such a time as this. We are in the right place at the right time because God doesn't make mistakes. He needs each and every one of us. When somebody's sick in your family, the word of God says, go out there, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Why? It's not you, it's the power of the Lord, the Spirit of God within you. That's where the power is. You're just a conduit, a vessel that God is using to come and lay hands on the sick and see them recovered. Lay hands on a stranger. Lay hands on your family members. Lay hands on yourself, and you will see yourself recovered. You will see the strangers recovered. You will see your family recovered, because it's a promise from God. Healing is ours. And if you pray for an unbeliever, your faith is big enough. Amen. As long as they're willing to receive, as long as they say, you know what, I believe. I believe in God, and I'm open for prayer. An unbeliever, then, you know, they'll see the miracle of God. Amen. Because they want it. And if they want it, that means they're believing in a God that they don't know. But you, as a believer, you have enough faith already to pray for that person and see them heal. How do you think the church began to grow and grow and grow? Because they saw the miracles of healing. They saw the casting out of demons. They saw people being set free during Pentecost and after Pentecost. And the church grew and grew and grew. They went from 120 got saved at first, then to 3,000, then to over 5,000. Like, amazing. Amen. And this is what we need to see in the churches today. The miracle working power of God that is working through us. It's working through us because we have the Spirit of God within us. All we got to do is believe, lay hands. Believe or just speak the word, just like the Lord Jesus did. He sent the word. Amen. To the centurions, the centurion asked him, hey, my soldier is laying sick, but just send the word, Lord, and I believe he will be healed. And he was. At that very hour that the Lord Jesus sent out the word, at that very hour that commander was told, at that very hour, that soldier was healed. Amen?
Amen.
Yep. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go to the questions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We read Matthew 8:16-17, right? And it's on your lesson too.
Mm-hmm.
When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. So how many people did the Lord heal?
All of them.
All that were sick.
Exactly.
All of them.
All that came to the Lord, all of them that came to him, they came to him because they believed.
Amen.
If you don't believe, you're not going to go to the Lord. Like the Pharisees, right? They didn't believe. They wanted him killed. But people that believed came to God, and they were healed. All that came to the Lord were healed. All of them. Isaiah 53:3-5, and we read that. He was despised. He was rejected of men, right? He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted, meaning very familiar with grief, as we are. Amen, right? sometimes we have sorrows, sometimes we have grief, right? But the Lord, you got to say, but God, by his stripes I'm healed, but God, I have the joy of the Lord, but God, I got the Prince of Peace living in the inside of me. You got to say, but God, amen. You can't just leave it there, you know? You know, you can't say, I am having a difficult time, I'm sad, I'm in sorrows, I'm suffering, and leave it at that. No, you got to negate that with the Word of God. You got to give it an antidote. And that's when you use the Word of God. Amen? So the Lord Jesus, he was despised. We esteemed him not. Like, who are you? Like, we just didn't care. The Jewish people didn't. They had the Messiah in front of them and totally ignored him. Amen? The Word of God says he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken because he was smitten of God and afflicted. He was afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, right? He was bruised. He was, like Rosie says, he was mutilated because he was, right? For our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Amen. And with his stripes, 39 stripes, we are healed. So what type of healing are these verses talking about?
Oh, my goodness.
What types of healing are these verses talking about?
Oh, my God. Sorrows.
Sorrows, iniquities, all types of healing. All types of healing, including physical healing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mentally, depression.
Yeah, because, you know, if you take a lot of these words, you could see the emotional part of it, the mental part of it, and the physical part of it.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in there. And God provided healing for everything.
Amen.
For everything. And in Matthew 8:17, which we read before, right? That it might be fulfilled through the prophet, right? It says here, what happened to our sicknesses, with an S, and infirmity? What happened in these verses?
Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Lord bore everything. The Lord bore. He took it upon himself, sicknesses and diseases. He took it all. And in 1 Peter 2:24, which we read, who by his own body, he bore our sins. And on the tree, which I said it was the cross, right? That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed.
Amen.
We were healed. So what two things does this verse say the Lord Jesus did for us? What did he do for us in this verse?
He bare our sins and he healed us.
Healed us, yeah. And he took
his
stripes for us.
Yep. He bore our sins in his body. And he took, like Sister Rosie said too, the stripes for our healing. You remember, you know, that the stripes that he took, you know, they said, I don't know what it's called, but they said that pieces of glasses were wrapped around that rope. That whipped the Lord's body. So every time they pulled that rope, it was a strike. Yes, go ahead. Yes. Yes.
I was looking something today about that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Romans, really. You know, not the Israel, not the Jews, but Right. The Romans. And yeah. I'm excited about it because you're just saying this, and it runs back where it said, you know, again, you know, they put the glass, they put pieces of iron, nails, all these things, all right?
Yeah.
And then it wasn't just one person doing the stripes on him. It was two.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were showing you these, you know, they were showing you these pictures, all right, of the things of long, you know, of those days, how you could see stripes going from one side and to another.
Mm.
And then he was saying how it went all around. And then it shows that one of them was taller than the other because you could see that the stripes were up higher and the other was the lower. It was amazing. It was a documentary that I was listening to on this. And I was like, wow. And then he said it was 120. They did it 120 stripes, not 39.
Mm.
But, of course, according to the Jewish laws, it was 39.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But with the Romans, it was 120. And so you add 120 with two of them. The way they figured it out was like 300 and something stripes on his body.
That's crazy.
So when I was listening to this, it was like I'm trying to picture this in my mind, what he must have been going through with this, you know. So I had to tell you this because it's just, when you were just saying this, just brought me back to what I just heard today in the documentary.
That's crazy. Can you just picture? Can you even picture his back?
Oh.
Can you even picture the torment, the torture beyond that? Because that's an understatement right there. Because, and it's amazing when you read the story how he literally walked with that cross to his crucifixion site. Literally.
And the way they were saying it is that it tore the skin off of him.
Yeah.
Front and back. It wasn't just the back, it was front and back. And this was a Catholic priest that was talking about, which also I was really surprised to hear, a Catholic priest talk about these things.
Yeah, you know, just thinking about it, imagine, you know, under that heat too. I mean, I'm sure he was I can't even imagine. Even when he was placed on that cross, imagine how his back touched that wood. You can't. Wow. Thanks for sharing that.
As you were saying it, I'm thinking about it and I'm seeing it, you know?
Yeah, you visualize. I just watched the movie, I don't know if you've seen it, The Last Supper.
I've seen, yeah.
Yeah, by Chris Tomlin. So I watched that this weekend. Yeah. And, you can definitely visualize it and it's not a good scene.
No.
All right, in James 5:14-15, which I believe we read, because it says, is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. Amen. And this reminds me of the story of the man that the Lord healed. And when he healed the man, he says, your sins have been forgiven. That's a powerful statement.
A sinner.
That's why I said that God, he came for the world, for all, and he healed all, both believers and unbelievers, that were willing to receive salvation, healing.
Amen.
Just like Mary Magdalene, right? A woman, right?
Yeah.
That committed, was she the one that committed adultery? Well,
No,
oh, oh, she's the one that had the demon possessed.
Yeah, she was a prostitute.
Mary Magdalene, right?
I believe it was her, no?
Yeah, there's so many Marys. But yeah. there's too many Marys. But anyway, there was just like, you know, some of the women, right? They were caught in the act. They were, one of them was demon possessed.
Right.
Right? But yet God, not only did they receive healing, they were forgiven of their sins.
Right.
And he told them, sin no more. Go and sin no more. Go and tell. He would say, go and tell. You know, you don't have five husbands. You, the one that you have is not even your husband. You have six, you know. But go and tell.
I believe that the reason, like you said, tell her, go and sin no more, is because she was delivered from all that.
Mm-hmm.
That she was free not to sin.
Right.
That's how I, you know, perceive that.
Absolutely. She received from the Lord himself. She at the well, she believed the Lord. The well.
Oh, yes, wow.
She believed the Lord. At the well, we can literally say that she was saved. She was talking to the Messiah. And she believed and she went and she spread the good news.
She
preached. You know? So it's amazing, right? So the word, right, in James 5:14, it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, right? And if he has committed any sins, they will be forgiven. So the word saved in verse 15 is the Greek word for sozo, which is translated to deliver, protect, heal, preserve the whole. And it's the same word the Bible refers to as salvation. And according to these verses and the Greek definition for salvation, what is included in salvation? What's included?
Healing.
Healing is in the atonement. Salvation is part of the atonement. Healing is the atonement. Atonement, this is the Lord provided atonement for us.
Amen.
Forgiveness of sins, eternal life, healing, deliverance, restoration, reconciliation, and the list goes on. Right? We just read it. Protection, preservation, soul provided by the Lord. In Matthew 10:7, I don't think we've read there, right? 10:7 and 8. Let's read Matthew 10:7 and 8. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Amen. And we've received a gift. Freely we have received salvation from the Lord, which, again, like we just read, and translated into deliverance, protection, healing, restoration, right?
Amen.
All the good things that God died to give us. So when the Lord Jesus sent out his disciples, what did he tell them to say?
The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
And it sure is. It's right here, right now. This is why the word says, now is the time of salvation. It's here, right now. Let's not miss it. Let's not, you know, even for people that we're sharing the good news with, you know, today is the day. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised. But if you believe today, receive the Lord today. Amen. Don't wait another second. because they, God is so good. He's gifted us with so much. So much. Matthew 10:8. What did the Lord Jesus tell them to do? Tell his disciples to do in the verses we just read.
Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils.
That's right. That's
so
that's
you receive, pretty good. What you have already received.
And we've received a lot from the Lord. Amen. We have received a lot from the Lord. Okay, Mark 16:15. Okay, the next four questions are regarding four verses. So let's go to Mark, the book of Mark 16. We're going to read verses 15 through 18. And it says here, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Amen. We read that in James also, right? Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Amen. So what did the Lord Jesus tell his disciples to do in verse 16:15.
Go to the world.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Go into all the nations and preach the good news to everyone. To everyone. In Mark 16:16, those that respond to the gospel will do what?
We'll be saved.
That's right. This is why we all responded to the gospel. We received the Lord. We believed in a God that we couldn't see because it was by faith, right? And we received and we were baptized. Amen. Mm-hmm. Mark 16:17. What signs will follow the believer? The believer.
Speak in your tongues.
And 17. Verse 17. What signs will follow the believer?
It's right there.
Right there.
Don't cast
in his
that's
name.
Evil spirit. Yeah.
In his name. There's power in the name of Jesus. Okay? In his name, you will cast out devils. You will cast out demons. And you will speak with new tongues. Amen. We need the power. Remember, we did a lesson.
Yeah.
About being fulfilled with the Holy Spirit, right? With tongues. About being able to speak in tongues. It's about being filled with the Spirit of God, right? It's a free gift from God. Amen?
Yeah.
Mark 16:18. What are the signs? What other signs follow a believer? In verse 18.
They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly anything, it shall not hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
If they lay hands on the sick, and they should be recovered.
Yeah. Lay hands on the sick, and you will. The word says you will see them recover. That means it is a done deal. That means when the Lord Jesus says it is finished, it was done. It was done. Okay?
Protected.
Freely we have received, we got to freely give out.
Yes.
Do not hoard. Do not hoard the gifts that the Lord has given us. And I'm speaking to myself here, too. Let's not hoard the gifts, right, that the Lord Jesus freely has given us. Because we got to go out and speak the word of God. We got to go out and speak the truth of the gospel. We got to go out and lay hands on the sick. And we will see them recover because that's what the word is telling us. And you have to walk in that faith. Because it's not you doing it. It's the power of God in you. The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that is within you that is, you will see the sick recover. You will see the manifestation of His healing power. Because the power is within us. This is why the Lord said in, you know, he didn't say it. Luke said it. I'll finish with that, right? In the book of Acts 1, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Meaning, the Lord began this, and now He has us to continue it. Because He was only here for 3.5 years. And this is why He commanded the disciples, and we today are His disciples as well, go out into the world, right? Go out into every nation and go out and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go out and continue to do that, what I used to do here on earth. Go out and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Go out and spread the good news of my word and see the people being saved, healed, restored, delivered, and walking in total freedom. This is the commandment. This is what God has commanded. This is our mission from the Lord, to go out and spread the good news, because this is good news.
Amen.
If it wasn't for the word of God, I wouldn't be here today. Many of us wouldn't be here today, right? But the word of God has saved us. The word of God has transformed us. The word of God has healed us. The word of God has given us peace and clarity and joy. The word of God is working and continues to work. The word of God is working. The power of God is working through us. Today we have authority. We have dominion, as we know. Amen. And we have the power to say no to sickness. Say no to the devil. Say, do not accept a negative report. We have that choice.
Amen.
And we have the choice to walk in belief or unbelief. You either walk hopeless, or you walk in hope. You either are walking in God's faith, or you're walking in your own faith. And your own faith is not going to get you very far. Amen? Because the enemy comes in really quickly and places doubt in you. We can hear a word on Sundays. We can hear a good teaching. We can hear a good sermon. But the minute you walk out of that service, whether it's on Zoom or personally, the enemy's going to come against you right now and against your mind so that you can forget the word.
Yep.
So you don't remember the word, so you don't retain the word, and he's going to steal that word from you. Do not allow it.
Right.
Do not allow it. Because it is God. God is the one speaking on Sundays. Yes, he may have a man and a woman speaking from the platform, but they are speaking God's word. And God's word is living and it's real and it's doing. The minute you speak it out of your mouth, It's already, you put it at work.
Amen.
That's why when you speak positive and you declare and decree the word over your body has to line up with your mind, because as you speak, so are you. Your body yeah. will line up with your mind because your mind has been lined up with the spirit. And that's when manifestation of the healing comes and you will see it. But first you need to believe that you already received it and it shall come to pass. But be careful, because the enemy tries to steal the word of God from you.
Yes.
Amen. So we got to stand, and not be shaken. Be anchored to the word, because the word of God sets us free time and time again. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.